We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
Well, you never know about the time getting here, but you knew he was going to be great. Brett Veach said it. He said, he's our general manager. He said, it's the greatest player he'd ever seen. So, and that's quite a tribute to the kid. And now that I've been around him as much as I have and you've watched him play, he's pretty doggone good.
Middays on the Score.
Very doggone good. Top of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join the Wildcats at Welsh Ryan Arena this Saturday when they host Purdue at 8 p.m. Tickets on sale now at nusports.com. It is Super Bowl week. It is a strange Super Bowl week because not only the death of Kobe Bryant, because they're just... There isn't a lot of news. Like, the moment we knew the combatants, we started doing all the football stories, and now everybody's down there and practicing, and I'm wondering what's next in our coverage of this frankly very interesting, compelling Super Bowl matchup. Kevin Fishbane is with us. You can follow him on Twitter at KFishbane, and he's on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. What's going on, Kevin? How are you?
I'm good, guys. I'm with you, Dan, and then I think we talked last week that when you, as much as it's kind of fun to not have the Patriots, you also lose all the, I mean, as wacky as they were, the storylines that kind of came with them. These two teams are really, really good and have great coaches, and you have the one amazing quarterback, and it's like, okay, they're really good teams. I'm excited to watch them play.
So we caught the news, and this caught my eye just the other day. Jay Glazer has the report that the Chargers are moving on from Philip Rivers. I don't know if he's going to be the first domino to fall necessarily in this big class of quarterbacks. I would imagine if you're running a team and interested in a quarterback like that, you're probably looking at some others. But what do you think that means for those who are looking for quarterbacks?
Yeah, Connor, and if you think about Super Bowl storylines, the funny thing is that the most interesting things are probably Rivers, Brady, and Breeze, right? Those three guys and where they're going to be playing next year. And Rivers is the most likely one to not be playing for the team he's played with forever. It's interesting because you need... You know, you'd like to be a team that maybe's got that young quarterback and Philip Rivers could be the bridge, or maybe you're a team that's got a really, really good defense and a young quarterback who just hasn't figured it out and he can maybe kind of help be that stopgap for you for a year. I think, you know, watching Philip Rivers at the end of this past season, I wonder if it's going to be difficult for some GMs to pull that trigger and get really excited. You just didn't see those kind of that fourth quarter magic from him that you're used to. And sometimes that magic would get them all the way down to the 2 yard line and end in a, you know, backbreaking interception. But this year we just didn't see that come November and December. And you think about him in a cold weather team too, and wondering how that would play a role. I don't know, guys. I saw the Glazer report. I would never certainly question Jay Glazer. But I wonder how much the Chargers are totally out of play for him, and what type of team would really be perfect. I know some people talked about the Panthers, go back to where he went to college, to the state of North Carolina. If they move on from Cam Newton, that would be interesting there with Matt Rhule. But yeah, he is kind of the one of those top dominoes to fall this coming month.
Yeah, I wonder about the overall dynamic of the final chapter of an all-time great, the way it used to be Namath on the Rams and Unitas on the Chargers and Montana on the Chiefs. Sure. And it was something that we knew happened. But the dynamics of the modern NFL, when these guys have more money than they're ever going to need, we know about the physical danger of the sport in a way that we have never known before and understood. And also, teams value their own sort of proprietary arrangements and developments and systems where it's not just go grab the next thing, because of all the heavy lifting and all that's involved in changing the dynamics of your organization. Maybe we're just living in different times where it's better off for everyone for these guys to just kind of ride off into the sunset.
Yeah, Dan, I am wondering if we've reached that point too. And you see with Eli kind of recognizing that that was it. That was the end. He wasn't going to go, you know, take a swan song with another team or at least try to. And, you know, the NBA and Major League Baseball, you rarely now see stars stay with the same team for 10, 15, 20 seasons anymore. You know, in the NFL, the quarterback position, it's still there because as much as we talk so much about teams want that rookie quarterback, they want him in that rookie quarterback contract, you still see these guys, they get that extension and they get the franchise tag, then the extension, and they're there for a long time. Look at Matthew Stafford. Look at Matt Ryan. You know, soon we're going to start talking about that with Russell Wilson in Seattle. There was those rumors last season about him going somewhere else. Ben Roethlisberger. So the quarterback still remains that position where we haven't seen too often, Peyton Manning being the most notable one, of course, where these guys at the end of their careers, you know, go for one more run somewhere. And Peyton is the unicorn in that conversation. So, yeah, I mean, that's going to be the thing with Rivers is it's just going to be so weird to see him in a different uniform. But of the three, of him, Breeze, and Brady, he's kind of the one that you could see it happening because of the way the Chargers might be going and their desire to bring somebody in for the new stadium. Although, I mean, Philip Rivers is the Chargers. If you're the Chargers and you're opening up your new stadium and you're trying to drum up more support, don't you want the guy who's been the face of your franchise for 15, 20 years?
Yeah, there's so much brand equity, right?
Yeah, and that's what I'm thinking. Like, why? I mean, if you're a Chargers fan, I'm sure that they're pretty split in terms of, you know, it's time to move on versus you just want one more year with him. But as I mentioned earlier about, you know, he wasn't the Philip Rivers we're used to. He wasn't bad. You know, this is still a guy that can still, you know, lead a team. And we all saw what Peyton Manning did in his last year. You don't have to be that great if you got everything else around you. Just throw those 5 to 10 yard passes and dink and dunk your way downfield.
Yeah, just got to be better than Cutler in Miami. I wonder though, Rivers. He's been pretty critical of Chargers ownership and the sights and sounds of playing where they had to play this last season. And, you know, let's just put it the way it was, a cheap team, a team that wasn't, you know, willing to spend the things on the outside of a franchise that make it an elite franchise in this league.
Yeah, Connor, I mean, this is a team that wouldn't even buy their own stadium in San Diego. They would refuse to fund it. They were trying to get the taxpayers to do it. That's why they're in L.A. And you look at the Eric Weddle situation from a few years ago with that franchise, the guy who was beloved there and a Pro Bowl safety, and how that ended very poorly with them. And he's gone out. Now he's on his second team since then. And you wonder if a guy like Philip Rivers notices that. And I think I saw Rich Ornberger, who's a former offensive lineman for them, tweet about last night about, you know, here's another situation where the Chargers are not handling this well. Now, I'll tell you guys this. Our Chargers reporter did tweet, Daniel Popper did tweet yesterday that he thinks some of this stuff is overblown from his perspective. He doesn't necessarily see that the Chargers are mismanaging this, that Philip Rivers is like, hey, I'm moving to Florida, but we don't know chicken or the egg how that is all coming together. So, you know, but as I said, we might start seeing this with these quarterbacks and these teams. You look at the patience of owners that runs thin and head coaches that don't last very long. And, you know, how long, if you're Anthony Lynn, you're thinking, I have to win this year to keep my job. And if you're the GM, Tom Telesco has been there for a while for GM years. He's probably thinking the same thing. Is the best way for them to win Philip Rivers or something else?
What do you know about the story that Eric Berry, after sitting out a year due to whatever the latest injury is, does want to play next year? And if he's got something at 31, you'd think that maybe, well, the Bears could have an opening for a playmaking safety.
Yeah, Dan, that'd be interesting, and obviously Matt Nagy knows him well from his time in Kansas City, and that would be, I think Allen Robinson tweeted about it earlier this week, about the idea of Eddie Jackson and Eric Berry being back there together. I'd be really curious to know from Chuck Pagano, with the caveat that Chuck Pagano would never actually tell us the answer to this, is what was their evaluation of having two ball hawking guys back
there? Yeah, they need a box safety, right?
Yeah.
Right, and you know, look, Eddie Jackson, I thought, played really well in the box in terms of somebody who's not used to doing that this year. You know, he made a couple nice plays. He still had those missed tackles that you come from a guy who's not really built the way that maybe an Adrian Amos was for that spot. But I'd be curious to see if maybe when they went back and looked at it, they said, you know what, we want Eddie Jackson being our center fielder, our back end safety. We would really love to have more of a hybrid guy that can play in the box. And I don't know if at this point in his career, Eric Barry's going to give that to you. But, you know, maybe they look in and say, hey, we actually did like having Ha Ha Clinton Dix back there with him. We do want another kind of guy who can move around a little bit because safeties are so interchangeable these days. And we really did like what Eddie Jackson brought for us in the box, and we can, you know, move it around. So, you know, again, that comes down to the defense's evaluation. Just from my perspective, from my watching, I would think you would want Jackson to be available to pick off passes more. Their line was quarterbacks avoided Eddie Jackson, so let's bring him closer to the football. I think you still want him to kind of be that free safety for you.
So, Kevin, talking with Kevin Fishbane here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. Kevin covers the Bears. I was looking around Sunday morning. I was actually listening to Kevin Zipak on The Score Sunday morning when I got out of bed. It was left on. I'm kidding. I love him.
Keep it.
But the apparently the Twitter handles for the Bears and about half of the league were hacked. The NFL released a statement today saying that the cybersecurity department became aware of a breach of a league-related social media account. I kind of figured that when it was all kind of starting Sunday morning that somebody just didn't change the password back from like password 123 or something, or forgot that this intern got fired or whatever. But it sounds like this was actually a hacking group, somebody that's maybe a little bit more devious than this.
Yeah, and you know, I think if you're the Bears, you might breathe a sigh of relief that you weren't the only ones that got hacked.
Sure.
Because for a few hours Sunday, you know, you were upset that someone figured out your password was Club Dub and got into your Twitter account. And at first, when you saw that it seemed to be like a marketing company, you're like, okay, well, at least this isn't as, you know, kind of the way you described. But now that you see all the other teams and you see this, and you know, it was a very nerve-wracking morning. I can tell you from talking to a couple people up at House Hall and dealing with that, because that's a scary thing if somebody's going to get into those passwords and whatnot. And you know, it's the NFL security team, so you never know what they're going to come up with, because sometimes they botch these things. But I think this is one of those things that they probably are going to take very, very seriously when you're talking about passwords for billion-dollar entities.
So we've gotten past media day. We've gotten past the big sort of circus day. And a lot of this was overshadowed. Those of us who talk sports for a living, we're just kind of now getting back to looking at what's going on at the Super Bowl because of the Kobe Bryant tragedy. But I'm wondering what's next here. Now, is it the fishing for the player to guarantee victory to cause that whole kerfuffle? I think we'll probably move past a lot of that. I mean, this is an odd time, sort of not knowing what's next to cover about a game that everybody's going to be watching.
Yeah, and you have two coaches who are a little more colorful with the media than most, and they're a little more open, but I imagine both of them are going to be tight-lipped this week, and you understand that. And the players kind of had their fun, and now they actually have to start practicing. So they're going to be a little more focused. I know the one thing about Super Bowl week is you get a little bit more time to talk to some of these assistant coaches. I thought it was really cool seeing 49ers assistant coach Katie Sowers out there last night, the only female, I think she's a quality control coach for her. So you start to see some of those stories come out where of some of these people you don't, maybe general public doesn't know a lot about. But as far as the X's and O's of the games, now you get into this point where, okay, they're actually going to play a game on Sunday. You almost forget that. Like, these teams are going to play each other, and you're not, they're not going to reveal very much this week. So yeah, Dan, you're kind of in this, like, all right, we got through the media extravaganza, you know, maybe we start to learn more about some of these people and some of their backstories as filler as you get into Sunday. But now it's just, it goes back to, okay, can the 49ers control clock? Can their pass rush do enough to stop Patrick Mahomes? And can the Chiefs find a way to stop the 49ers run game? And you kind of go back to those things as you get ready for Sunday's game.
One of the things you wrote fairly recently here, Kevin, was just what you figure the Bears could pluck from either the Chiefs or the Niners. And there's a lot of things. I mean, both of these teams are pretty darn good, and the Niners are as well-rounded as just about any other team. What do you expect the Bears could pluck, either schematically or personnel-wise, perhaps, from this matchup?
Yeah, the easy thing to say is, okay, here's the 49ers team that kind of protects Jimmy Garoppolo. He makes his throws when he needs to, but they found a way to be really successful with a great defense and a strong run game and really creative offensive scheme. Because you can watch the Chiefs as much as you want, and maybe I wrote this the other day, as you mentioned, kind of, that maybe Matt Nagy sits there and watches the Chiefs and say, I draw up that play. We had that play in our playbook, but we just can't execute it because we don't have the quarterback or we don't have the offensive line. Well, it's a similar thing with the 49ers. And Matt Bowen pointed this out on Twitter, I believe it was during the 49ers division round game, when someone asked him about the Bears. He said, well, the personnel is so different. The Bears don't have the personnel that's built to do what the 49ers do. So I'm sure you know Matt Nagy's watching. You know all these coaches are going to be watching this week. And it's like, how can you maybe not run the ball the way the 49ers do, but think about the way that they run an offense that is so catered to their personnel. And figure out, okay, how can we adapt that philosophy of drawing up a game plan for what we have? Or do they look at the 49ers and Chiefs and say, okay, let's look at these teams and what they're doing in their personnel and help us figure out who we're going to go sign in free agency, who we're going to try to trade for? You know, the number one thing, of
no,
course,
you know what Matt Nagy is saying. I was just going to say, Matt Nagy is watching both of these teams. Like, everything's fixed when I get my tight end. Everything's going to look like how I see it in my head when I get that
both
guy.
Of these teams,
that,
yeah.
That's what he's thinking. He's thinking that's the critical position, that I'm going to get my guy at that position, and all of a sudden we're cooking with gas.
Yeah, and the drop-off, and we've talked about it all year, there was incredible for the Bears. And yeah, he's got to be watching Kittle and Kelsey, and Ryan Pace has to also. Yeah,
I'm not saying he's right either. I'm not saying that I agree with him on that, but we know how he's wired. That's how he's thinking.
I think if you watch those two guys, if you're the Bears, you're thinking, okay, let's pour our resources into this position. Let's throw a lot of money at Austin Hooper, and let's use a second-round pick. Because if that's kind of their thinking, that is such an important position, so important, on the plane ride from Kansas City to Chicago, as we've heard so many times, Matt Nagy was talking about Trey Burton and talking about the U tight end. If that really was, had such an impact on the offense being poor, and you watch these guys, what they're going to do on Sunday, you go find them, and you go put these resources into it. And it might be even a little easier to use resources like that for a position like tight end that is a little more manageable when it comes to your money, as opposed to maybe quarterback or trying to go find a top flight wide receiver or a top flight edge rusher. You can do that with tight end and hope that you can kind of replenish that position and find guys to do what you need for the offense.
Kevin, appreciate it. Great talking with you as always.
All right. Sounds great, guys. Take care.
Thank you, Kevin. Kevin Fishbane, he is plugged in to the Bears, and these are sort of uncomfortable times as the Bears just kind of wait to watch the really good teams play, and after all those aspirations, and after an 8-8 season that felt more like a 6-10 season, or
less than that,
5-11 season.
Yeah, somewhere around there.
I still think that we're going to, by the time we convene training camp in Lake Forest, and that sounds weird.
That
to
does
say,
sound weird.
Are we going to be there? Are we going to, like, do shows?
Is there space? I mean, they've got the one road leading in and one or two parking lots next to Hallis Hall. Yeah, I don't know how well they plan on improving the whole grounds before their first training camp there.
It was a strange feeling because we were driving to and from Kankakee on Sunday night for hockey, and I went past the 309 exit there for Route 50, and they still says, you know, home of the Bears on the big water tower,
sure,
there, and realizing they're going to have to repaint that whole thing. There's the, you know, the cherry picker dealership with the Abraham Lincoln holding the sign that always has some, like, vaguely fascist message on it.
Yeah, but vaguely fascist.
But I think he changed it. I think he was tired of people, like, noticing it. And,
yeah.
And now it's like, God bless everyone or something like,
sure,
that. But it was,
yeah,
always,
I mean, he's not going to put, like, free Morris Burger up there or anything. It's not going to be. It's not going to be that.
I wouldn't put it. Whoever owns that, it was always something vaguely kind of discomfortingly fascist.
Yeah,
a little weird. But it's going to be strange not having an actual training camp to attend.
I think you're going to have to. If we do go,
but by the time it's around, you're going to be looking forward to the Bears season.
Well,
I think,
you know, I hope that's the case. But you keep bringing up this horrible idea that all it's going to take, or at least in Matt Nagy's head, and maybe even in Ryan Pace's too, that all it takes is this tight end to unlock the offense and fix the entire issue. That terrifies me, because the more you say it, the more I think that that's a realistic reframing of their issues by an offense and by an offensive mind that's invested into that system as it is and into that quarterback and into the whole process.
We know how they think.
It scares the hell out of me.
Okay.
It scares the hell out of me. So stop saying it.
Kind of should. I'm not going to stop saying it.
I suppose that's the point.
There is a petition that's making the rounds that it has to do with a fitting tribute for Kobe Bryant, and it's got like 1.5 million signatures right now, and the endorsement of some people to make a change that would be what some believe an appropriate memorial tribute to Kobe Bryant.
Speaking of change, there's some news out on what your Sunday Night Baseball broadcast may or may not look like coming up next season as well. We'll get to both of those things. Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit 1 million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
The bottom of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Does your youth hockey team want to play in front of thousands? Make it happen with the Chicago Wolves Youth Hockey Program presented by Kia. Visit chicagowolves.com/youth hockey to learn more. So a petition at change.org is making the rounds and already has 1.8 million online signatures. And it is petitioning the NBA to change their logo from the silhouette of Jerry West to that of Kobe Bryant.
Huh.
And there are some mock-ups here of what it could look like. And it's kind of cool, actually, with that little bit of lean. And you can tell by the length of the shorts that we're not looking at Jerry West.
Kobe's territory now?
Yeah, it's... I can't say I'm hardcore against it, because I'm not some kind of traditionalist that thinks that such things can't change. I don't know. I'm fine either way. But I don't think it looks bad.
No, I don't think so either. Is the idea that it would still be the same red, white, blue?
I think so.
Or blue, white, red, I guess it would
be.
You
wouldn't want a team. You wouldn't want any like team. Well,
you could do an all black silhouette. You could do an all white silhouette. You could change this color scheme completely. You could just do an outline or something like that.
Yeah, Justin Bieber signed up for it. Jamal Crawford
Bieber's up for it.
Yeah, there are some notables who are agreeing.
I'm fine with it. The NBA has made a lot of changes to its game. You know, year after year, you get changes. They added a 3-point line.
I think we have to get off Rick Camp's lawn.
Jerry West is the guy who drafted him.
I'm out on this because then you're setting a precedent for what happens when Michael Jordan dies. What happens when Kareem dies? You have to change it to the Skyhook then. If we're saying, you know, like I get that the way the death happened is part of it.
Yeah.
But it's one of the best players of all time for sure. But I don't know. Changing the logo just seems, I don't know that you have to. Like, I guess that's my whole thing is...
Well, you definitely don't have to.
No. Yeah, like, I guess that's my thing is why do you have to do something that grandiose when I don't know that... Did Kobe change the game that much?
No, it's not going to... I don't think it's going to happen. No.
I just think we're all in the moment. We're kind of prisoners of the moment. And I don't want to downplay Kobe or anything like that, but like the Mavericks retiring 24-8 is to me is dumb. He never played for the Mavericks, so it doesn't make any sense. Like if the I don't know if you should retire 24 throughout the whole or 8 or
yeah,
24.
Yeah, it's not Jackie Robinson, right?
Right. I think that kind of stuff is you're trying too hard in the moment. That's
true.
That's all.
But I do think it speaks that we talked about this a little bit yesterday. Like I think it speaks to the impact that Kobe had on people in the league. Like everybody has a Kobe story or the story of the one time they met Kobe.
Well, yeah, right now.
Or what? Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
We're going to change the logo every generation.
No. I'm not. I just think that the response was it 1.8 million votes, and then you know Cuban's got a number retired and stuff. I think. You know, whether it's the right thing to do or not, the fact that so many people are willing to consider something like this speaks to what Kobe meant to a lot of folk.
Correct. There is still the issue of the rape trial.
Well, yeah,
and
obviously.
His essential admission of at least potential guilt and the settlement of the civil suit because of the preponderance of the evidence there. If you want to read a really interesting piece about that and the way some of that was handled yesterday, the estimable Albert Bernecco, he used to write for Deadspin. He's got a piece up on Vice. He's a really, really, really good writer. Just an immensely talented.
Bernecco's great.
Albert Bernecco is just an immensely talented writer and a brilliant guy. And he had a very strong and kind of grim piece about Kobe Bryant and about the rape trial and about what Bryant's side, what the defense did to make sure that the accuser's identity was leaked in a way that would result in, if not outright harassment, certainly public pressure that ended up accomplishing whatever that nefarious goal was, and went back through some of the facts of that case that were once again harrowing and difficult to read, and it's important that people be reminded of some of that stuff. And he had the guts to do it when there were people at the Washington Post getting suspended for tweeting stories about
right
it.
Yeah, you know, I was talking about that with somebody who didn't know much about it at the time, but I was talking about, you know, how Kobe passed, and we did a lot of the show yesterday, almost all the show yesterday on Kobe. And she's reading back through some of the stuff. Didn't he have a, you know, this? She worked in the mental health profession, and it's you wouldn't do the things that Kobe's defense team did to a defendant like that.
Right.
You don't do some of those things. And yeah, I think it absolutely does have to be talked about. And I think you know, whether it's an overreaction or not, the logo, I think the context of his life is absolutely worth remembering throughout this entire discussion.
Yeah, and like for me, I wasn't even taking the sexual assault case into account when I was thinking of it.
Well,
but like an 847 texter, I thought I had a good idea. He's tied for the most All-Star Game MVPs. Make it the Kobe Bryant Memorial All-Star MVP Trophy.
That's about the right level of
yeah, fine with that.
Extending a permanence to it.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, I think that's perfectly fine. It makes sense in terms of the record for it as well. He's tied with Bob Pettit, but I mean,
still with us.
Still Bob with Pettit. Us, surprisingly enough. But just give it to Kobe.
That was surprising. Was he like a naval test pilot or something that we didn't know about? Yeah, you're allowed to live to 87. He's not a football player.
You're allowed to live to 87.
Well, of course, it doesn't mean you should bank on a guy living to anybody to live to 87.
Well, no, I'm not an actuary. I'm not in the insurance business. It's I don't have to, you know, make book on that. I don't have to take a market and how long people are living. But no, it's we've only have only three MVPs are no longer with us.
Yeah, that was one of the wilder stats from, and not a stat, but just kind of facts from yesterday.
I'm gonna see that was the trivia question that I wrote on my kid's napkin in his lunch today. So I'm gonna see if
he can name them.
What he sometimes does is he'll crowdsource it with his friends at lunch and see if I do a trivia question, and they're pretty knowledgeable. These kids today, having the sum of the world's intelligence literally at their fingertips all the time.
If being only able you'd to use it for things.
Right.
When you were interviewing for a Grand Valley State coaching job. Let me shift gears real quick.
Morris.
Because I want to get to this before.
Morris, don't say Hitler.
Don't do it, Morris. We talked about
Morris,
this.
What did I tell you when you left? Whatever you do, Don't say Hitler.
Sweetie, have a great interview. Enjoy your... It's your day. Celebrate you. Oh, don't say the Hitler thing.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, no
don't
Hitler,
say the
promise.
Hitler thing. I know she said something about Hitler. I can't remember what it was. To shift gears with no real segue whatsoever, I want to get to this before we talk to Lawrence in transition and whatnot. There's a report from the New York Post. Andrew Marchand has it. That ESPN is likely moving Jessica Mendoza out of the Sunday Night Baseball booth
it.
With more changes possible. He writes that Matt Vasgersian's status as the lead play-by-play guy remains in question, with John Shambi and Carl Ravitch potential replacements, according to sources. A-Rod, though, sounds like, or rather has been assured, that he is welcomed back. That's also according to sources from Andrew Marchand. He's got another report kind of linked to it that says ESPN has some interest in signing Hall of Famer Chipper Jones as an analyst. He doesn't necessarily say it's for the Sunday Night Baseball broadcast.
Okay.
Chipper, remind me, Chipper has done some analyst work for the Little League World Series, if memory serves? Or am I mixing that up with another... Southern ball player? I think he's done some work there, if not for the actual Little League World Series, then for some of the games leading up to the final. So I think he has some broadcast experience. I don't know if he's got the Sunday Night Baseball broadcast.
The Mendoza
experience.
Move is a strong move after she completely showed her ass in the Astros stuff and took the side of the clubhouse and saying that Mike Fiers shouldn't have said what he said.
That was dumb.
Really dumb to be on the side of Omerta over fairness, and it was especially in her role as a consultant for the Mets when it looked like she was carrying water for the Mets in their effort to retain Carlos Beltran. Mm-hmm. The fact that that actually crumbled, it was a really embarrassing turn for her. And to bring her back as some sort of apparently objective national voice would have been really, really tough.
We have breaking Cubs news. The Cubs have signed Jeremy Jeffress to a one-year deal. Go crazy,
the
folks.
Former Brewer reliever?
Yeah, left-hander,
yeah.
Right?
He was pretty good.
I thought he was a righty.
Jeremy Jeffress? Why do I have it in my head that he was a left-hander then? If my computer would work and access the sum of the entire...
No, computer at
it
this
is completely
place.
Stopped up. Sorry.
Jeremy
Okay, Jeffress. Bullpen arm. Congratulations and well done to the Chicago Cubs for signing Jeremy Jeffress. A one-year deal? Do we have the money attached to him? Yeah, he's a right-hander.
$850K.
Okay. Great.
Right. Last year he was worth three-tenths of a win. Okay.
This is the level of Cubs move.
Isn't it?
Guys who either are or are not left-handed.
Last year he threw a 93.8 mile an hour fastball 63.7% of the time. He threw an 81 mile an hour curveball 28.4% of the time, and his 90 mile an hour changeup 7.9% of the time.
Tell me if this sounds familiar. If this sounds in the Scooter Jeanette and Steven Souza range. Had a terrific 2018 and a horrible 2019.
Yeah, it's apparent that the Cubs are trying to win the 2018 World Series.
Trying to find bounce back guys, man.
Right?
Maybe you hit the wall. What did innings thrown were 76.2 for Jeremy Jeffress. Remember the Brewers had cut down the starting rotation and kept on using bullpen guy after bullpen guy after bullpen guy. You know, maybe it's overuse and maybe you can get some bounce out of Jeremy Jeffress.
Wasn't Jeffress one of the players who was acting in the like the bullpen cart video with Brent Suter? He was one of they did a really funny little comedy video.
Are you thinking about the Sandlot video that the Brewers did or something else?
I don't
remember. The Brewers did that whole, you know, recreated a bunch of scenes from Sandlot. Was that 18?
Maybe it was that. I remember him being one of the guys who was a willing participant and doing what he needed to do for the bit. So I'm always there for those guys. We are Bernstein and McKnight. We're going to be sending it down to Miami to say hello to Lawrence Holmes. He's at the convention center in South Beach there on Radio Row covering the Super Bowl. So we've got a lot to discuss with him. And I'm also, are we going to find out when the Sun's ever going to come out again?
Mm-mm. About the time we find out about Bryant's grievance. That's when we get the Sun again.
Every time you say Bryant's grievance, I think General Grievous.
Bryant's Grievous.
I don't know. I think General Grievous with his multiple lightsabers. He was a badass. You'd hate to see that coming at you, wouldn't you?
Why, not if you're Obi-Wan. handled it fairly well.
Did he blast him?
It's good to go. Well, yeah, it was a little uncivilized.
They said it was inelegant.
Yeah, it's an uncivilized weapon for an uncivilized age or something like that, the blaster.
Yeah, but if a guy's coming at you with like six different lightsabers, yeah,
you probably use what you got to use.
It's sort of a variation of the Raiders of the Lost Ark thing when Harrison Ford was having stomach problems. It was supposed to be the big sword fight with the guy with the scimitar.
Right. I got a gun. Shoot him.
Shot the guy.
That'll do it.
Yeah, so General, see ya. We're Bernstein and McKnight. You got the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Got a bunch of thank yous to give out today. Sahada Sharma, Kevin Fishbane joined us. We had Jay Zawoski, Rick Camp, and the executioner, Ray Diaz. And thanks to both Penis Man and to Morris Berger, too.
Just a joy.
Their contributions to the show. I want to mention we're doing something special on Friday. We are going to do a pre-Super Bowl Friday Fung.
Oh, wonderful.
We did it last year. And do you remember what we did?
Vividly, yes. We thoroughly enjoyed this.
We did Super Bowl blammers.
Blammers!
It was your recipes, because everybody, you know, we do chili or dip or whatever it is.
Wings.
Yeah, we had your creative, crowd-pleasing recipes for Super Bowl eats. And I'm going to need one this year because we've got a hockey game earlier in the day. We had a hockey game scheduled for 6 o'clock p.m.
No.
On Sunday.
Sorry, not going to make that one.
You know how hockey people are.
They're like that?
Yeah. I think they just screwed up and forgot.
Yeah, that's probably
what
they did.
But they couldn't get a ref.
Yeah, I would imagine. Or parents to drive the kids
parents,
to the game.
Kids, coaches, referees.
Pucks.
So you know what they did? They rescheduled.
Good idea.
But I still probably don't have time to do like a slow cook chili kind of thing and tend over it and sort of stir it the whole day. So I'm going to need one of these. Last year was heart plugs.
We all ended up making
all made heart plugs.
And they were fantastic.
That was the garlic bread, toasted garlic bread covered with browned Italian sausage.
Jardiniere.
Covered with jardiniere. And then
some sort of cheese.
It was cheese.
Lots of provolone,
yes,
right?
It was provolone. Oof. It was provolone across the chest. Yeah. And then browned in the broiler or baked. It was so good.
Yeah, it was really good.
But we need new ones this year.
Yep.
So 11.
Well, guess what? Sorry to interrupt you. I have found Blammers Man.
What do you mean?
I have found the man who invented Blammers.
The actual guy from the segment?
Yes. So I think
with the okie doke popcorn and the corn dogs and the de-sticking?
I'm going to try to put him on Thursday to promote Friday's event.
Oh, how yes! about it? Patient zero.
Blammers.
Now, I'm sure he's very busy.
Well,
so
obviously.
He's got to fit it into his schedule, but I will see what he can do.
Well, that'd be great.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Blammers Bob. I assume his name's Bob.
It's got to be. Well, it is now.
It's probably a Bob.
We got to name him Bob. So that's going to be fun. So Friday at 11:20, get your pencils and scorecards ready, and we'll give you the correct lineup for all of the food that you're going to need. So next up, Transition with Lawrence Holmes on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.